up a chair and tell me your memory. Why does it matter to you? I want to hear your story, your point of view. Tell me what happened to you.
Hi, and welcome back to Tell Me What Happened, podcast that features folks from all walks of life telling us one true childhood story and how that event, that experience, has impacted who they are today. I'm your host, Jay Rehak, and like all of you out there, I've had my share of childhood experiences that have impacted who I am today. Some of them beautiful, some of them quite painful, a lot of them memorable. But I'd like to think that everything that's ever happened to me has made me a better person. Now, that's not necessarily true, but that's what I'd like to think. Today, I have as my guest a good friend of mine, a man I've known for, almost 40 years. I met him when I moved back to Chicago. I was living in New York at the time. I moved back to Chicago, and I was looking for a few good people, and I bumped into Reverend Bob Bossy. Reverend Bossy is a priest of the Order of the Sacred Heart. Welcome to the show, Bob Bossy.
Thank you, Jay. It's a pleasure to be with you. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, thanks a lot, Bob. You and I go back pretty far, actually. I think you told me that we met at a protest or something, if that's not right.
One side call. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you came up to me and said that Liz McAllister had told you to get in touch with the group. Oh. And then about a week or two later, you came with Susan. And the very first thing she said to me was, "I'm Susan and we're in love."
Nice.
That was the very first word she said to me. So, I mean, I said, "God, these are cool people. I love them already." So,
all right.
That was back in the mid 80s.
Wow. Well, I did marry Susan, so it's worked out so far. And I'm honored that Liz McAllister was the woman who introduced us in her way, a great woman. You know, I consider you a spiritual guide. You actually may not remember this, but you remarried me on my 10-year anniversary. I'd been married by a rabbi the first time, and I needed or wanted to reaffirm my vows, and I did. My children were with me and my wife.
And
you did the service for us, and it was beautiful. But that's not part of this story. I'd like to actually get to your story. So, Bob, are you ready to tell your story?
We'll try.
All right, listen, I'm going to mute myself.
Okay.
I'm going to just listen so you won't hear me reacting at all.
Okay.
But when you're done, we're going to ask you absolutely one question. And that one question is this. How do you think what you told us has impacted who you are today? But
okay.
Take it away, Bob Bossy.
This is Bob Bossy speaking to you from Franklin, Wisconsin, a good friend of Jay and his wife Susan and their family. I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, in a fairly religious family, Catholic. My mom, I always thought, was the spiritual core of the family. She spoke about God, and actually Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph like they were real people, and she knew them. It wasn't like a theoretical thing. And I didn't think of that then. But through the years, I realized that that's a lot of where I got my inspiration and intuition about God and what life is about. Your question to me was, what is something that happened in my life at an early age that caused me to have an impact for the rest of my life? And I, to be honest with you, the thing that I remember when you first asked me the question was the first thing that came to my mind was my awareness of God. When I was a young boy, there was a few moments in my life when I just knew God's presence. And I knew that I loved God and wanted to be close to God. And one time it happened while I was singing the song, O Holy Night, to myself, and just realized that God was present. Another time it happened when I was with my brother Dave, who was an agnostic. This is a little bit later in life. And somehow I just said to him, I don't know. God is always present. I just know God is always present. But what happened to Jay is that I thought that I should be a priest, and I was going to sign up to go to high school in Boston at a place, I think it was called Resurrection High School. And it was on the other side of town. And two things stopped me from doing so. One was I didn't want to go that far away from home to go to school. It seemed like too much of a hassle. And the second thing is that I didn't want to become a priest right away because I wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel the world. You don't know this, but when I was young, I had a very bad case of asthma, and I almost died several times. And I remember one time I was in bed for about 3 months with asthma. And I remember looking outside at the kids who were playing, and I was, of course, stuck in the house. And I remember saying to my mother, when I grow up, I don't want to get married because I don't want my children to have this. And I want to travel all over the world. Little did I know that that would happen. So I didn't join the priesthood at that time. And I decided to become a vagabond, if you will, a gadabout. So what happened is I started bouncing around the country and the world. I went in the military. I was in Japan and Florida and New York. I got out of there and I went to work for Bethlehem Steel, building a nuclear-powered ship. And I went on the road at different jobs working for the military-industrial complex. I was into the bar scene, motorcycles, sports cars, dating, engagements. I was engaged at least once. And I ended up one time with a friend. I bumped around with a guy named Eric Stennis, who was from Weymouth, Massachusetts. We met and became friends up in a job in Vermont at General Electric. And we both realized that we wanted to go on the road. So we became traveling buddies and traveled around any place we could get a job and still hang out. He taught me to scuba dive. And so I became an avid scuba diver. And he and I were really close friends. After work, we would swim out past the breakers in the ocean and just gab for a while. I don't know what we talked about. People have asked me, what did you guys talk about? I have no idea. We were just good friends, you know. One time somebody said to him that they thought we were gay. And I'm not ashamed of being gay, but to be honest with you, I never had any sexual attraction to Eric. He was just a good friend. But anyways, we bumped around in a lot. We ended up in California, in Hollywood, California. And believe it or not, Jay, this is a truth. I'm not making this up. There were parties morning, noon, and night, 7 days a week. And the people at the parties, I think, were all looking to be discovered. And they wouldn't talk to you unless you looked like some famous director, I suppose. And after about 2 weeks of literally going to a party three times a day, I said to myself, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do this anymore. As a matter of fact, I was lying on a couch in a friend's apartment in Hollywood, California, and I made a decision that I was not going to get off the couch unless I could figure a reason to do so. And I couldn't think of any reason to get off the couch. And I said to myself, well, I just won't respond to anybody's attempt to break into my silence. I just won't respond. And I said, but what would keep you or want you, make you to want to continue going on? And I couldn't think of anything. And I said, what about someone in your life? And I thought about different people. And then I thought of my mom. And I said, I'm sorry, you're not good enough. And then I thought of God. And I remember saying, God, I'm sorry, you're not good enough. The God that I knew. And I was ready to give up when I said to myself, well, what about before you were born? And at that moment, I thought of my conception. I'm getting ready to cry now. And at that very moment, I found myself immersed in God. I heard the word God. And at that moment, I was lost in God. I didn't exist. Only God existed. I realized a few moments later that I was lovable. and that everybody and everything else was lovable as well, because they were in and of this God that I had met, that they deserved, that I deserved love and respect, and they did too. And I remember saying to myself, I don't know why, I said, you get out of life what you put into it. So I said, well, I want everything. So that moment changed my life. I remember being on the beach in Florida before this incident happened. And there was this young woman there beside me. I think she really liked me. And she was asking me about myself. I remember saying to her, I'm looking for something. I don't know what it is, but if I find it, I'll know it. So that's what happened. And I didn't think about my desire to be a priest earlier in life. As a matter of fact, I remember I was in a nightclub one night, and there was dancing and everything going on. And there was this pretty, really pretty woman that she and I were sort of connecting. And she reminded me of Gina Lola Brigida. I don't know if you remember her. She was quite attractive. I was quite flattered. And I remember saying to myself, you know, you should really become a priest. I remember saying to myself. And I remember saying to myself, I'm not ready for that. And so one thing led to another up to that experience in California. And I changed my life. I decided that I wanted to please the God of my life. I wanted to. It's like when you fall in love, you don't do it because you have to. You don't care. You don't care for them because you have to. You do it because you love them and you want to please them and make them happy. And so that was my motive, what pushed me onward, and I decided that I would become a priest. But even though at this time there was two other guys we were hanging around with, Otto and, oh, I can't remember the other guy's name, but he said to me, he had just gone to a Curcio, Charlie Carr. Charlie had just gone to a Curcio, which is a Hispanic Catholic retreat. And he said, Bob, you should go on the next one that they're having with me. And I said to him, Charlie, I said, I had an experience of God, but I don't know if he's Catholic or not. So because I wasn't ready to say I was Catholic. But I heard in my mind that if you wanted to be a priest, you had to go to Mass every day. So me and Eric, we were unemployed at the time. So me and Eric headed back to Florida and got a job. And I started going to Mass every day. And it so happened it was after Vatican II, when things had changed a lot spiritually and, you know, in the church. And I started going to Mass every day. And I found myself, when I would listen to the priest reading, in those days it was the priest, reading the scriptures, I was sitting there with my jaw slack, because I realized that Jesus is God, was my God. And then I realized that I was a Christian, a Catholic Christian. And so I tried to follow that lead. And I wrote away to a bunch of religious orders to ask them if I could join. And most of them wanted to come and visit me and spend 6 years getting to know me and everything. So I got really discouraged. And I remember one of my friends, I forget his name, he was going down to visit his girlfriend in Miami. We were all living in St. Petersburg. And he was going to visit his girlfriend in Miami. And I was laying in my bed and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm really discouraged. I can't get, no one wants me as a priest. And he says, get your ass out of that bed and write to some other places. Get your ass out of that bed. So he left the room and I got up and I started writing to other congregations. And I wrote to the one that I'm in now, which was catering at the time to so-called second career vocations. Because at this time I was 27 years of age. I thought I was an old man. So I wrote away to all these groups. They all wanted to come and visit me, as I mentioned. But this group here said, come ahead. Come on up. So I sold my car. I gave up my job. And 2 weeks later, I flew to Massachusetts to the seminary. Little did I know that the spirituality of the community is based on, well, it's from the Psalms, It's, behold, I come to do your will, O God. And that's pretty much said what was in my heart about pleasing God, that I wanted to do God's will. I might not have used those exact words, but that's what I wanted to do. That was to which I gave my life. And so I did that and try to, you know, keep going. I say I'm still struggling on, trying to be a good guy.
All right, listen, I'm almost out of time on my Zoom, so I got to just ask you one question, even though it's sort of self-evident. That decision when you're 27 and even before then and all those events, and I love the even before you were born hearing the voice of God. How do you think it's impacted your life? I mean, to a certain extent, you've been a priest for a little while now, so I assume. How do you think it's impacted who you are today?
Well, I became a priest because I wanted to tell people about God and how much they were loved. Like, I found God and felt loved. And so I was going to become a brother, if you will, because I just wanted to sort of hide in the woods and know God. But I became a priest because I wanted to at least be able to preach a little bit and tell people about that. And I had an experience in South America a few years later that helped me to turn to social justice activism as a way of expressing God's presence in the world. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm not keeping track of the 2 minutes. But
yeah, well, last question for you, because I know you've been a social justice advocate, but I would say for at least 50 years. I don't want to necessarily find out exactly how many years you've been a priest, but it's been, I would say at least 50 probably, right?
I was ordained at 75.
Oh, 75, okay. So last question for you. Whatever happened to Eric, you know? Do you know?
Yeah, he got married and to a nice woman. And I didn't know it, but he was an alcoholic. We used to hit the bars all the time. I didn't think anything of it. But it's one of our mutual friends, Joe Varga, who was a skydiver and circus performer. He called me up. He said, Eric's dying. Mm. And I said, what? And he said, yeah. He says, an alcoholic, Bob. I said, what? I didn't even know he was an alcoholic. He says, Bob, he's been an alcoholic all of his life. So he died when he was about 60, 65. I mean, he was a really good friend. We hung around together. And as far as his alcoholism was, it didn't seem to influence our relationship. So.
Well, listen, Bob, I want to thank you. I got less than a minute before the Zoom locks me out. Thank Bob Bossy for being on the show. I appreciate his time. I appreciate the insights, knowing you for many years, and the wild side I did not know. And so now I know a little bit more about you. And I'm grateful that you did become a priest, because, as I said, you were a mentor to me and to many, many thousands of people. And I know your social justice work has helped the world, not necessarily healed it, but I guess maybe that's not why we're here. We're just here to love God and do the best we can, huh?
Amen.
Thank
you.
All right. Well, that's our show. Thanks again to Reverend Bob Bossy. Until next time, this is Jay Riak asking you all to please stay safe out there and do your best not to hurt anybody.